you want to sing another one? You want to sing? All right. Good to have Brother Jeb Jones here again with us. Won't you stand and rest? There's a fresh bottle of water, preacher. We're honored to have him. And let's get in here and let's get in the Word of God together tonight and see what God's got for us. Preacher, preach to us.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, it's good to be here. And some of you wondering who I am. Andrew Jones is my son, and then we're glad that he is here at Gateway. And he married Mary Beth, who we're so honored to have as our daughter-in-law.
But,
I appreciate you taking good care of Andrew all this way from home. But thanks for letting us come by.
Amen.
Well, you look nervous, more nervous than I do. You guys look scared to death. 1 Peter chapter 1. You do. You look scared to death. First Peter chapter 1. Thank you, preacher, for letting me come by. And it's a great honor to be here and trust that the Lord will help us. If he don't help us, we're not going to get any help. So we'll just go ahead and wait on him. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Father, again, we just come one more time, Lord, to let you know that we need your help. And Father, I resign in front of this church, Lord, of any abilities, Lord, that would convict sinners, comfort saints, instruct your people. So, Holy Ghost, you do the work, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This passage of Scripture in the book of 1 Peter gives us the crucial doctrine of the redeeming power that is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Then we're told in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Blood is the must of any function to anybody. In other words, you take away blood from a body, you've taken away life, according to what I've read to us. And the book of Peter is dealing with the subject of suffering. Peter, according to chapter 1 and verse 1, he is writing to those who have been scattered abroad, who are suffering persecution under the world in which they live in. And we can't always identify with that type of suffering living here in the United States of America, but it may be coming. But Peter here is giving us, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, our concentration during those times of sufferings. This is what makes the belief, our belief eminent in around the world, is what we're focused on. I heard a writer say, "It's not so much as our behavior as it is our belief."
It's not so much our conduct as it is our concentration. And here it is laid out for us, the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter is openly saying that if you take away the blood from your concentration, you've taken away the life of our system of beliefs. So tonight, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach on this thought, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Blood, again, is the function to anybody. Blood is a must. In other words, you've experienced this when you get a real good night's sleep. When you get all in there and you're out for the night and your arm gets kind of sideways and you wake up and it feels lifeless and it's throbbing and it feels like it's larger than it is. You've cut the circulation off and there's no more blood going to that extremity. And I'll tell you, if we take away blood from a life of any body of Christ, this church, this body of Christ, you've taken away life from it. Tonight, all over the country, there are churches gathered together who has not focused upon the blood of Christ. It is the foundation to what we're believing. I'm saying tonight it is nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. There are those tonight who would call me a slaughterhouse religionist. They would say things like, I can't believe that Brother Jones would be in a fancy place like Gateway after preaching on the blood of Christ. But I'll tell you tonight, we know that it is the most important thing for all of us tonight is that precious blood of Jesus Christ. They've taken it out of their sermons because it's offensive. They've removed it from their songbooks because it's offensive. They've even gone as far as taking it out of their sermons. But tonight I'm telling you, without the precious blood of Christ, we are nothing. I'm preaching tonight on the blood of Jesus Christ. If you'll notice in verse 19, the Holy Ghost calls it precious blood. Precious blood. It's what God holds up on this. It's His price tag that He puts on that blood. Precious. It means valuable. Costly. Held in high regards. There is nothing like the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to say the blood of Jesus is special tonight. It's special blood. It's special because of its source. That's right. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He, God, hath purchased with His own blood. I'm saying tonight it's special blood because of its source. What was flowing through the veins of Jesus Christ was God's blood according to the Holy Scriptures. To think tonight that God would give us His blood to redeem us back to Himself ought to put a smile on our face, ought to put a shout in our voice box, ought to put at least a shiver up and down someone's spine tonight. To think that God Almighty gave us His blood. I read there in the Reader's Digest about a solution of acids that they called the royal water. It was a solution, preacher, that was found to dissolve gold and silver from ore. In other words, when someone found a gold nugget out behind the house and they brought it in, they were looking for ways to remove that wonderful, precious, valuable ore called gold. And they came up with these solutions called the royal water. And there in that Reader's Digest, it said it was the only solution that was found in that day to pull that precious stuff out of that ore. And tonight, I've got news for you. I found something more special than royal water. It is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is the only solution that separates us from this world's pollution. The blood of Jesus Christ. It's special blood tonight because of its source, but it's also precious blood because of its strength. I've read there in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8, back there through verse 62, where Solomon wanted to offer a peace offering to God. So the Bible says that Solomon brought 220,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. And the Bible says it was such a large sacrifice that they hollowed out the middle court because the brazen laver couldn't hold it all. Now, I'm a deer hunter. If that bothers you, please don't tell me about it. It don't matter. I like to kill things and eat things that had parents. That's just what I like to do. But when I'm out hunting and I kill a deer, I would say roughly, guesstimation, there's a gallon of blood per a deer. There's probably more than that. I've never done measuring it, but let's just say tonight, there's a gallon of blood per deer. The Bible just told us that Solomon offered 20,000 oxen. And I'll guarantee you an oxen's a lot bigger than deer, especially in the Carolinas. But I've got news for you tonight. Listen here. There's a lot more blood in an oxen than there is a white-tailed deer. So we've got 20,000 gallons of blood here at the sacrifice. Then the Bible says he offered 20,000 sheep. That's almost 140-some or 160-some thousand gallons of blood there poured out that day. But do you know out of that 160,000 gallons of blood couldn't put away one of our sins or their sins, but one drop of this valuable blood of Jesus Christ covers a multitude of sins. It's special tonight because of its source, but it's also special tonight because of its strength. I tell you, there ain't a sin in this room that the blood of Jesus Christ can't fix. I'm saying this, it was special blood. It was shed blood. That's right tonight. The Bible says he laid down his life. I mean, I begin to think about that. I was eating in Michigan with two fellows. One was a Jew and the other a Gentile. That's what I was a Gentile, but I watched these two and I was eating my onion rings. And they was fighting back and forth about who killed Jesus. The Gentile would point to the Jews and say, well, you guys gave him up. You guys are the one that led us to us. He'd point his finger and say, yeah, but you guys beat him and nailed him to a tree. They looked at me and said, well, you're the preacher. What do you think? I said, I've got news for you. Nobody killed Jesus. You can't kill life, neighbor. Hey, the Bible says he laid down his life for the sheep. You ain't going to kill Jesus. He laid his life down. It was shed blood. It was shed on purpose. What he was doing at Calvary's Hill wasn't some accident. What he was doing on Calvary's Hill was plan A. And don't get nervous with me. God ain't got but one plan. Plan A. You know why? I got a lot of plans. And I always got to sometimes go to plan B. You ever have plan B? Oh, I tell you, I got plan B often because plan A don't work out. But God, he don't need plan B. He don't need plan B. You know why? Because plan A always works out for God. You say, preacher, don't talk like that. Hey, I'm a whosoever will, neighbor. But the Bible says that Christ was slain before the foundation of the world was laid. Long before he pushed up Mount Calvary, neighbor, he knew he sent his son there to give his blood. I'm saying tonight it is special blood, but it's also shed blood. It was shed on purpose. It was shed with passion. I'm going to tell you tonight, neighbor, when Jesus was led there, to that whipping post, it was shed with passion. I tell you, the Bible says they've got a post. I've read those commentaries where they talk about how they beat their prisoners, and they'd get an old wooden post and bury it in the ground and put two chains down there, and they'd stretch that back out good and tight. Then that fella would take the cat of nine tails and begin to lay it out, and those nine strands of leather with bone and metal and glass all tied to it. And then they got that bag good and tight. They'd take that cat of nine tails and lay it across that person's back and pull it down. And the Bible says they drove furrows in his back. They plowed it open, and the psalm said that his bones, he stared at his bones, neighbor. I've got news for you. It was shed with passion that night, and the blood began to trickle down his back. And then they took a crown of thorns and planted it on his head, and the thorns began to push through his brow and down through his eyelids, and the blood, that valuable blood, began to trickle down the freshest face of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying it was shed with passion, neighbor. It was shed on purpose. He knew what he was doing, and he knew who he was doing it for. I'm going to say tonight, hey, the Bible says he sweat as it was great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I can't take you to scriptures and prove this, but I've got news for you. Jesus was a man. He wasn't a wimp. He wasn't a hippie. He was a man. And that day, neighbor, he wasn't afraid of the spikes. He wasn't afraid of the whipping post. But our sins, our lies, and our adultery, and all of the stuff that we commit in this world had to be put on him that day. He never tasted sin. He never knew what it was to lie. He never knew what it was to think evil. But the Bible says every debaucherated deed done by mankind was put in a cup and pushed to the lips of Jesus Christ. And he prayed that day, Father, let this cup, you say, what cup? The cup that had our sin in it. He said, let that cup pass for me. But I tell you tonight, he drank it. It's precious blood tonight. It's shed blood tonight. It's shed with passion. It was shed on purpose. Yes. They took that old cross and laid it on the quivering body of our Lord. He drug that cross as far as he could go up Calvary's mountain. Then they laid him there and nailed him, and the blood began to flow that day. I tell you, it's shed blood. Amen. It's sanctifying blood. Yeah. I tell you, it's the only thing that separates me from the world. I know where I'm at, and I got a lot of good friends. But I've got news for you. I've met a lot of people that think because their dress drags the ground, and I'm for that. Yeah. And they think because their necktie's tightened down so tight they can't breathe, and I'm for that. Yeah. I better not lie. I'm not for that. But anyhow, I don't mind ties, but look, I don't like it when they're that tight. But I tell you, they think somehow that separates them from the world. But I got news for you tonight. When God looks at us, he better see the blood. I got news for you. I'd hate to face him tonight just by having convictions or just by being a Baptist. Bless God, I'm glad the blood has been applied to my heart. I'm glad the blood has covered Jeff Jones. And you can read up in heaven all of the deeds that I've done. But the bottom line of that thing, you'll read paid in full. I'm saying it's sanctifying blood. It was the blood in Eden. When Adam and Eve committed the sin and took and ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God had to kill an animal, and the blood flowed that day in Eden. It was the blood in Egypt when the death angel was coming through, and God said, if you don't have the blood upon the doorpost, the death angel was going to come by, and the firstborn of the son was going to die. It was the blood in Eden. It was the blood in Egypt, and it'll be the blood in eternity that gets us entrance. I'm saying it's sanctifying blood. It's satisfying blood. It is the only thing that pleases the Father, and I'm not going to be too long, but I'm going to say tonight, his blood describes. You say it describes? Oh yeah, when I see the blood trickling down the cross, it describes his love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'll tell you, it didn't just say he loved us, he so loved us. He loved us tonight so much that he couldn't stand heaven and let you and I go to hell. So he bridged the gap between that gulf that separated us with the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, I pastored for those years up in Michigan, and I had people walk into my study. That's what I have, is a study. Amen. I know some have got an office. I got a study. But I walked in my study with their hands in their face. And they'd say, Preacher Jones, my mom and dad, they've forsaken me. They don't love me like they ought to. Or they'd some lady come in and say, Preacher, my husband has done terrible things, and I just don't know what to do. They just feel like I'm all alone in the world. I just feel like nobody loves me. You say, what'd you tell them? Well, being an old country preacher, I just pointed the bloody cross and said, look here, if no one loves you, Jesus does. Hey, he gave us his blood because he loves us. No one in this room or in this world can stare at that bloody cross and say that God doesn't love you. His blood describes his love. I tell you tonight, he loves you. He's crazy about you. Don't let the devil lie. No, I'm telling you, there ain't a thing done in this room that the blood of Christ can't cover. The devil will come by and whisper to you and tell you that people don't love you. And that's true. Sometimes people do fail us, but he never fails us. God loves you tonight. Sir, ma'am, he loves you. He is crazy about you. I tell you tonight, it'd be good for all of us to stare at a bloody cross. Remember that God loves us. His blood not only describes his love, it describes his limits. You can tell I'm a nursery rhyme preacher. It helps me. That's all I can remember, is all that alliteration. Hey, it describes his limits. One of my favorite preachers, John the Baptist, stood on the riverbank Jordan. And you know what he said? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that. That's a lot of sin. I mean, I begin to think, when old John the Baptist said that, I begin to think of how many sins Adolf Hitler committed. I mean, then I begin to think of how many sins ISIS has committed. Then I begin to think about, hey, how many sins I have committed. Hey, I've got news for you. I've read about all of us in Romans chapter 3. You want me to read it to you? It says, hey, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know some of you only bought a thimble full of the cross, but for those of us that brought more than a wheelbarrow full of the cross and dumped it on us, hey, I've got news for you. His blood describes his limits. There isn't no limits with God. He'll forgive every sin that every mankind has ever done. It's been paid for, honey. Every last one of them. I'll tell you what it does, son, it breaks my heart. Every time I think about mine, begin to focus on what he's done, man, I'll tell you, makes me just want to worship. I'll tell you, I pastored in Michigan long enough to tell you, this is a Michigan hallelujah. If they're doing that, it's on in the building. Places we go to, bless God, they're jumping pews and throwing songs. I'm not kidding you. They always had one service. I thought we was going to get attacked. People charging the platform. I tell you, it's scary, but I tell you, his blood describes his limits. The Bible says, Romans 5:7, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die.
But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than thou being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I'm telling you tonight, that describes his love. It describes his limits. He ain't got any. His blood, not only describes tonight, it delivers. His blood delivers. I'll tell you, in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sins. I want you to know something tonight. I'm in a Baptist church, a fundamental, independent, sin-shooting, hell-preaching Baptist church. And the word there is cleanseth with an E-T-H on it. Now, I've got news for you. I've been a Baptist long enough to tell you that most of us put an E-D on the end of that thing instead of an E-T-H. But I've got news for you. The Holy Ghost put an E-T-H on it. And I tell you, you say, what's that mean? That's present tense. That means the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us right now from our sins. The fellowship part of this text is telling us this. If we want to have fellowship with him, we've got to get our hands underneath the fountain. If we want to pull up to the table of the Lord and walk in truth, we've got to pull up to the table. I wonder what would happen tonight if Baptist churches would really start to come clean with God and quit putting an ED on the end of that word cleansed and put an ETH and start confessing sins. I wonder what God would do in our country. I'll tell you, there's more to sin than just chewing, smoking, and doing all that stuff. There's a whole heap more, neighbor, in that book. I got a lot of friends that stand on the King James Bible. And I tell you, brother, it's good to stand on the King James, but I tell you, it'd be a whole lot better to read the King James Bible and study the King James Bible than to stand on the King James Bible. Cleanseth. His blood delivers us from a guilty conscience. Hey, neighbor, look here. I have been in enough Baptist churches, and I've been preaching this book long enough to tell you there's a lot of unconfessed sins, and even in a Baptist church. There's a lot of people who sweep little things that don't seem so big or don't think they got caught. But I've got news for you. God sees everything. He sees the gossip. He sees the hatred. He sees the jealousy. He sees it all, neighbor. And you know what God calls that? Sin. You know what it cost us? The precious blood of Christ. His blood delivers us from a guilty conscience. See, I slept like a baby last night. I didn't need a Xanax. I didn't need thunder music on my headphones. I didn't even need a little rub on the ear or nothing, baby. I sleep like a baby every night. You know how I do that? Because I get things right with God. And I've got news for you. See, really, preacher, you must be a real wicked sinner. Well, I don't know about all that, but when you drive through Atlanta with a 43-foot motorhome, there's some things you got to confess at the end of the day. That's the truth. But I wonder how much unconfessed sin's here. I mean, behind the smiles and behind the handshakes, behind the long dresses and the white shirts, I wonder just how often we get to God and say, God, I want to tell you something tonight. Hey, I'm sorry for complaining. That was a sin that you paid for. God, I'm sorry. Hey, he said his blood will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know it ain't popular, and I sure, and God's name ain't going to be on the top list, but I've got news for you. It's the truth. Tonight, he said, if we want fellowship, we got to get it under the blood. It delivers a clean conscience. You'll sleep like a baby tonight if you just be honest with God. Get clean. You know what? Everything I've ever brought to him, he's always forgiven. Everything I've ever brought to him said, Lord, I know I'm sorry. And I tell you, God, I am sorry. I don't mean to. You say, what did he do? He just forgive me. You say, that's just easy. That'll get you in trouble. Hey, neighbor. No, it won't. Unconfessed will get you in trouble. We got some guys up there that make God sound like some big black guy in a judging outfit with an ammo that every time you come to him, he's got condemnation. But my Bible doesn't say he's got condemnation. He said, come, confess it. I'll forgive it. Or you can just sweep it under the rug or take it home with you. But I've got news for you. It delivers a clean conscience. You can get it all fixed up with God. You can get the devil. You know what the devil whispers all the time. You know what he does to me all ever, especially during testimony time. There ain't a clock in this building. Do you know that? I've been looking all over the place for one. Hey, the devil will remind us every time how sorry we are, and it's usually the quiet times, or during the testimony time. He do that to you. I mean, I get testimonies, start getting good. People get up and start praising God for what he's done. Boy, my heart starts to pound, and I'm thinking, I'm going to say something right here. Lord, you just wait. I'm going to brag on you, Lord. And the devil will jump on there and say, yeah, go ahead. You're sorry. I know exactly what you're about. Go ahead. Why don't you get up there, big boy, and say how good God is. You are the biggest hypocrite in this building. One day I got a hold of a truth. He's right. He is right. I ain't made it home yet. I haven't dropped this robe of flesh. So next time he comes to you and starts telling you, you do the same thing I tell him. I go over there, and we're usually not on speaking terms, but I just tell him sometimes, I say, hey, devil, you're right. I am a hypocrite. You're right. Sometimes I'm not everything I should be, but I'm not praising God because I'm good. I'm praising God because he's good. Amen. Hey, it delivers a clean conscience. You can go home different tonight if you just get it under the blood. God sent me here to tell you this. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood still lose all their guilty stains. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now, right now, no condemnation. I tell you, you can get underneath that condemnation. Hey, look, neighbor, I've watched the most dignified, the most, you'd swear they walked on water, church members of the church that I pastored. And I'll tell you, neighbor, when they begin to confess to me, it'd make your hair curl. I mean, if you didn't have any. So you ain't fooling me behind all that kind of pious look. Neighbor, look at here. There's stuff we've done. There's stuff that we ain't got right. And I'm not trying to drag you to an altar, neighbor. God can hear you outside this building. He can hear you in your car. But I've got news for you, neighbor. I do it quickly. His blood delivers clean conscience. It delivers constrainment. See, Paul said, it's the love of Christ that constrains me. See, I don't care what God asks of me. I owe him big time. You better look at that neighbor. When I see the bloody cross, I don't care if he wants me to show up on Tuesday night for church. I'm here. I don't care if he wants me to wear a necktie so tight my hair falls out. You better believe that time. Hey, you know what the blood of Christ delivers? It delivers a clean conscience, but it delivers constrainment. There's something inside of an individual who's been to the cross that says, Lord, just put the hole through the ear. I'll do whatever you say. If you've done that for me, I don't care what you ask me to do. I'll do it. I tell you, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, the commandments won't be grievous. You know why some folks have a hard time with everything? You know, all these, I've heard people say that. Hey, I don't like all that. We got to be here this Sunday night, Sunday morning. We got to do this. We got to do that. You know why? Hey, look at here. Get your focus off of what other people are doing and what you don't want to do and take a look at the bloody cross, neighbor. And I've got news for you. You'll step through those doors with a smile on your face, a spring in your step, and you'll say, Lord, whatever it is, it delivers constrainment, the love of Christ. I'll tell you tonight, his blood delivers. His blood demands. It demands a response. I'll tell you, how in the world can we stare at a bloody cross and not want to do something for God? Whether it's thank you, Lord. Whether it's, Lord, I just want to get this under. I know I hadn't been right today. Just get it under the blood. What is it? Demands a response. What's your response tonight? I've preached this. Boy, I've watched folks clean the dirt underneath their fingernails, preacher. I've watched them all kinds of stuff, but I've got news for you tonight. Hey, it makes no difference how you respond, but it will demand a response. Because the Bible says this, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ was the Lord to the glory of the Father. Preacher, be all right if my kids come sing real quick and then I won't be long. Is that be all right? Are you sure? You come up and sing something real quick. I read about an old African general. And this African general, they was fighting in a civil war in that country during this time. And he was battle scarred. And they have a custom where he's from that every time royalty would go down the road, the people of the city would have to bow their knee or tip their hat. And this general's wife was fed up with the whole mess. So the royalty was going down the road that day and she stood in defiance, preacher, against all that was happening. And they caught her. They saw her. She squared her shoulder backs and stood in defiance. And they captured her and took her in front of the king, and the king sentenced her to death. They was going to take her head off. That was their custom. And of course, the townspeople heard and they got back to the general who was fighting in one of those civil wars, that his wife was sentenced to die by execution. And I'll tell you, that day they set up the platform in the town square, put her in a little white robe type of thing, and marched her up to the top. And that general made it back to that town and began to plead to the judge for his wife. He said, "Please don't kill my wife. Please don't do that. I know she deserves it, but don't do that." He said, "I'm sorry. The word's been spoken. She's got to die." They put her down there and they leaned her down against the chop block, and a man stood there with an axe. He raised the axe up to take her head off. And that general jumped out, one more plea, pulled open his shirt and said, "For the sake of my wounds, please don't kill my wife." That king looked down there, and all over that man's body were spear holes and knife marks, and scars were covered from one top to the bottom. He said, "For the sake of these wounds that I have suffered fighting for your kingdom, would you let her go?" That king looked down there and said, "For the sake of that man's wounds that have fought for my kingdom, let her go. Let her go." And tonight I'll tell you this, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who sits at the Father's right hand. And I'll tell you, when I'm not what I should be, and when I mess up, I deserve to die. But Jesus looks over at the Father and says, "Father, for the sake of these wounds that I have suffered for your kingdom, would you let him go?" And he looks down there and says, "Jeff Jones, let him go. Let him go." I'm telling you tonight, look here. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And if you come tonight and get him under that fountain, they'll be all washed away. Or you can leave the same way as they sing tonight, "Preacher, thank you. I appreciate liberty."
For crimes he had done, he was guilty. Anyone could see, but his destiny was changed when he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me."
Maybe you're burdened about someone lost. Maybe you've got a need in your life. Maybe as you said, as a child of God, got an unconfessed sin. Get it right. Whatever your burden, whatever you need, the altar's the place to bring it while they sing tonight.
One said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I can hear his reply. "There are no merits to my name, no words that I can claim. But he that brought me here told me to say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way of the cross. I had nothing to claim but my guilt and my shame. Hopelessly lost, I could not find my way. Till his glorious light of love shone down on me. His sweet mercy washed all my sins away. And what he did for me that day was the price I know he paid. And by his grace, I can forever say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done. It's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way. I see millions gather round the throne from every kindred and tongue. Those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And crowns down at His feet. This will be their story. This will be their song. We have come by the way of the cross. We have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done. It's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done. It's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way of the cross.
Amen, amen. I'm glad for the blood that was shed at the cross.